Today I want to talk about how God extends his grace to each of us. A lot of times when we think of grace, we just think of this blanket idea, right? That, well, God's grace is sufficient. God gives us grace. Well, what does that mean? Am I saved? Yeah, I'm saved if I believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. But some people believe that God just creates the universe and it spins and he walks away. But what the Bible clearly shows us is that God demonstrates his grace in very personal ways. God is intimate with each of us, and we may not even realize it. So I want to talk about a couple of theology and philosophical definitions for a minute to help kind of set the stage for this. So the first one is a word called theism. Have you guys heard that word before? Theism. Theism is a belief that there is a God. And there could be multiple gods in the broad theism definition. And it's especially belief that one God created the universe and that God or gods are involved in the creation. They don't just create and then walk away. They intervene in the cessation of life and in the relationship of the creatures that were created by God. Then there's another term that's used called deism. D-E-I-S-M, deism. And this is a philosophy in which they believe there's a God, or maybe multiple gods, but that he just created the universe, and then he stepped back, and everything else takes place through nature. It also rejects that revelation is a source of religious knowledge. It's all revealed through nature itself. Our natural world is sufficient to show us who God is, and God doesn't get involved. And then there's the word that we've heard often in the U.S., and that's atheism. So atheism is complete opposite. It's a belief that there is no God, that we're here by chance, that there's no creator whatsoever. And then there's another theism called monotheism. And that is where we stand as Christians. We believe that there's one God, creator of all things, sustains the universe, and he's involved in the creation. Monotheism is part of theism, meaning that we believe there's a God and we believe he's involved. But where monotheism differs from other theisms is that we believe that there's only one God. And there are three main religions in the world today that are considered monotheistic religions, and that is Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. Now, just because they believe in one God doesn't mean it's the same God. So I want to talk today about why the Christian belief is based on theism and what we believe our God is and how he works in our lives. And if you all would turn to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 10 for a minute. If you are a deist, you don't believe that God even knows who you are, that he just created and nature takes over. But if you're a theist, you believe that God has a involvement in creation. And one of the things that is so near and dear about our Lord is in John 10, verse 3. Do I have any takers that might want to read that this morning? Go ahead, Sandra.
Sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out.
Thank you. Number one, we recognize the voice of God. That's a one-on-one personal relationship. Number two, he calls his sheep by name. Not only does he know you, but he knows your name. And he calls you by your name. And that's a pretty personal God to be able to do that. You know, think about how many people are on this earth today. What is there, 7 billion is the estimate? And he knows each name uniquely. That's a pretty powerful God. That's a God that cares. Absolutely. So I have three girls, and oftentimes I get their names wrong. Anybody ever done that? Go through the list and, okay, you're not her, you're her, I'm sorry. God doesn't do that. He knows you so well, he knows your name. And there should be comfort in that. There should be rejoicing in serving a God that loves you so dearly that he knows your name. In Luke 10:20, Jesus is talking to the 72 he sent out. And they come back rejoicing because they cast out these demons. And Jesus says in Luke 10:20, he says, don't rejoice at that, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Your names are written in heaven. And that's why we rejoice. That God knows us uniquely. Our names are written in his book. I call that personal grace. The next one we can find in Matthew chapter 10, another gospel. And this is in 29:30, and you guys already mentioned this. Matthew 10:29-30. Have anybody wants to read that? Go ahead, Shane.
And not two sparrows sold for a penny, yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered.
That's pretty amazing. You know, a lot of us go through life with all kinds of worry, concerns. Some of us panic at times. I've been there. And yet he says, man, a sparrow sold for 2 pennies, and yet not one of them fall to the ground outside your Father's care. Not one. And then he says, and even the very hairs of our head are all numbered. God knows the count of the hairs on your head. Anybody here know how many hairs they have on their head? Not as many as you'd like to have? Well, what I like to do is look at your neighbor, and I want you to start counting that. I'm just kidding. If you imagine. Yeah. That is a pretty intimate God if he knows the hairs on your head. Anybody know the number of hairs on their kid's head? And yet we love our children dearly, right? And still, we don't know them nearly as well as God knows them. I think we don't even know ourselves as well as God knows us sometimes. You know, you may know the color of somebody's hair, the style. You may know when hair's out of place, where their colics might be. But there's no way we've numbered the hairs on our heads, on our kids' heads. And yet we have a Father that loves us so dearly that he knows that intimate detail about you. And yet we go through life pondering and wondering, God, can God really love me? I've been so destructive. How can God love me? This has happened in my life. How can God love me? And yet the Bible says he loves you intimately. He knows every hair on your head. He knows your name. You know his voice. It's a pretty intimate God. You know, I've counseled with many people over the years that have done things or things have happened, and they begin to doubt God, or they begin to think that God doesn't care about them. And when you look at the details that God has provided through his revelation and his word, it is so clear. He couldn't love you anymore. No matter what you've done or where you've been, God still loves you deeply. The next way can be found in Job, in the Old Testament, in Job chapter 31, verse 4, and I know I'm using all kinds of Bible verses today, but I think it's important to see this in God's Word. Have any takers? It's Job 31, verse 4. Go ahead, Kim.
Does he not see my ways and count my every step?
Count my every step. See my ways. When I read that, first thing that came to mind is that God was the first Fitbit. We thought we had a unique idea, but Job here points out that God was already counting steps. He already knew. He was a pedometer. So Job was the first one to recognize this, that, hey, my steps are being counted. I think Job probably should have had that patented because he would have been pretty rich. He was at one point. That's right. He lost all his cows and his cattle. And God is a lot more accurate than a Fitbit, by the way. He knows every step you've taken. He knows every path you've gone down in life. And the thing that's so awesome about God is not only does he know every step, but he's with you in every step. Even when you walk into the messes of life, he walks in there with you. And sometimes we say, where was God? And we don't realize that he was in that with us at the time. He was there. And we miss that so often. The problem is we blame God for the things that human evil hearts do. There's a lot of sin in this world. There's a lot of evil in this world. And God is not evil. God is complete opposite of that. God is completely holy and just. And yet we've been hurt in life and we blame God. And what we need to recognize is that that was the cost of free will. God allowed us to make a choice in life, and a lot of people chose to do things other than what God willed for their life because of free will. Without free will, there is no true love. And so God allowed us to have this free will, and we've misused it and abused it in so many ways. And that is often why we walk through life with injuries, not because God inflicted you, but because evil inflicted you. And God was in the midst of it with you, trying to help you recover from that. The next way in which God demonstrates this incredible personal grace can be found in Malachi in the Old Testament in chapter 3. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 16 through 17. Any takers that want to read that?
I got it. Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard a scroll of remembrance from written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. On the day when I act, says the Lord Almighty, they will be my treasured possession. I will spare them, just as the Father has compassion and spares his own who serves him.
What's so cool about this? It says, those who feared the Lord. What does that mean? It's not a fear of I'm frightened of God. It's a respect for God. And oftentimes we read this text in the Old Testament, we think we're supposed to just be trembling. And that's not what we're talking about. We're to respect God. We're to honor God like a child honors a father. We know that he's capable of discipline if we screw up. But we are to honor him and trust him. And it says, those who fear the Lord, who honor, who respect God, were listened to by the Lord. He heard them. God listens and remembers our concerns. We often think, well, why do we pray God's not going to listen to me? Why should I share my concerns with God? Because he listens and he remembers. He knows your concerns. He says, bring them before my throne. A lot of people neglect prayer because they don't see immediate answers. There are so many occurrences in the Bible where people prayed and God delivered in such a powerful way later on when it was God's timing. And yet we neglect that because we're like, well, I want this to happen right now. God, you're like a microwave. I'm going to stick my prayer in there. I'm going to hit 2 seconds and it's going to be hot. And it doesn't work that way. Sometimes God responds immediately. But we are to pray in all occasions. We are to turn to God, the creator of all things, who is intimate with you and knows you and knows what's best for you. And oftentimes we think that he's full of these religious laws that we have to follow or he's going to strike us down. And it was very clear that not one person could follow those laws. He said in Romans 3, 6, I believe it was, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We need to be reminded, it's Romans 3, 23, excuse me, we need to be reminded that we all fall short of the glory of God. And that doesn't mean that God doesn't love us anymore, that he doesn't listen to our concerns. And he says, bring it Bring your prayers to me. It's very clear that he listens. Now, I take an awful lot of notes during the day when I'm at work. I tend to have a little bit of a memory lapse from time to time. And so I'm a note taker. I take a lot of notes and details so I can go back and recall what took place. God is infinite. He remembers everything that you've ever spoken to him. He doesn't forget you. He doesn't forget your concerns. Out of the 7 billion people in this world, those who fear the Lord and come to him and share their concerns, God remembers them. God remembers them. I forget half the concerns that Cindy shares with me, which is horrible.
You know the hardest thing about that, though?
What's that?
He takes his time.
He does. You know what? That's a development thing. It is. It's definitely hard. And I'll tell you what, that is a... God's teaching people to trust him. We think we're being ignored. It's saying, trust me. I'll give you an example, and she's going to hate me for this, but my daughter Ashley, she loves to remind me of stuff all the time, and I feel like it's a trusting. I'm like, all right, you told me. I said I'm going to take care of it. Do you not trust me? It will get done. You just have to trust me in my timing and when I do it. And that's how it needs to be with God, too. He'll do it in his timing. The thing about God is there's always stuff being orchestrated. We are a big chess. We're chess pieces, and this world is a big chessboard. And what I've learned is that God is moving things around. And he could be doing something in the life of somebody else, and your answered prayer is going to come when that takes place. And it's just amazing because you see all those pieces get lined up later on. And in the meantime, you're in the struggle going, Lord, where are you? Where are you? Where are you? And then when he comes through and there's a breakthrough, you see what God was orchestrating. And it's so much better than we would have ever imagined.
But then people get to the end result and they forget to turn around and say thank you.
They do. Not everybody. Some people recognize it. But that's a very good point, Roy. We are always to be thankful and recognize. And that's my point today is we miss those blessings in our life too often. We're focused on all the garbage around us. And we don't see the little blessings going on our everyday because we're too focused on the negative stuff going on. You know, it doesn't take much in this world to see negativity, right?
Especially when the media helps you all the time.
Well, it's not even the media. It's Facebook can be a blessing. It can be a curse. There are times where it's just all negative stuff, and I just say, I'm off Facebook today.
You focus on the inconveniences, like
right.
when your car didn't start and all the negative stuff, right. You're thankful that you have a car.
Exactly, Kim. You're absolutely right.
Yeah,
right?
And it can be fixed. And you can focus, you know,
oh, God, it hates me today. My car won't start.
Maybe God will save me from an accident if your car has started to be in.
Yeah.
See, that is a great lesson. As much travel as I do, there's nothing worse than having a delayed flight or a missed flight or they canceled a flight, right? You guys have probably been there if you've traveled before. And I used to get really irritated about that, going, really? And then I started changing my focus on that. I started saying, you know what? God's in control. What if he just protected me from something by making that flight delayed? Or what if that canceled flight was to protect somebody else? Or I don't know what God is doing, but I'm just going to trust him. And I know there's another flight. Thank you, Lord. And so we need to be reminded that God's at work. He is working in this universe, whether you believe it or not.
He gave you a minute at the bar to meet that person you were supposed to meet.
To bring them.
But I get what you're saying, though.
In the coffee shop.
Yeah, say coffee shop. See the preacher.
Well. He's Catholic.
What are you
drinking? I am a preacher. But most importantly, I'm a Christian. And you all are there with me. I just have a title. But you should all be pursuing what's good for you and where God is leading you. And I've said this before that, you know, what I love about a home church is in my philosophy is that even though I carry the role of pastor and the title of pastor, we're all in this together. The pastor is gifted maybe with teaching or preaching and shepherding, but each of you has a gift too. Each of you is put into this church for a role, not to just sit back and be fed, but to go out and feed and to be part of this Christian faith. It's not just the pastor. And so I want to encourage each of you to examine your lives, examine where God has gifted you, where he's leading you, and serve in that area in any way you can. And I love God and I want to pursue God with my life. And I am so thankful that he showed me who he was and how intimate he was. And because of that, I just want to honor him and I want to serve him in all that I can. Because I know this is all temporary. What we have here today, guys, is temporary. It's not worth holding on to. It's not worth selling your soul for a bowl of lentils. It's not. This is all going to disappear someday. Then where are you going to be? And if we set our sights on the heaven above, we recognize that Christ has come to give us an abundant life here in this world. And when we learn to just pursue him and not the worldly things, it's okay to have worldly things. It's not okay to pursue those and forget about God. Make him first. He says, seek me first, and all these things I will give unto you. And so that is the key here, is that we're all called to grow and to walk out a righteous life. It's not just the pastor. So the next thing I want to bring up on this topic, and I think this is so cool, can be found in Psalm 56, verse 8. Somebody want to read it? Psalm 56, verse 8.
Record my misery. List my tears on your scroll. Are they not in your record?
Isn't that awesome? That he knows our tears. That he collects our tears. You see, God knows our suffering. He knows it. It's not like we have to suffer in this world alone. God knows it. He's there. He bottled our tears. See, this psalm reassures us that God knows every bit of our life and where we suffer. It reminds us of just how much we desire this very thing when we're hurting. That we desire to have God be aware. We want him to recognize our suffering. You know, a lot of times for those that have suffered any type of problem in life, we want somebody to show us some compassion. We want some empathy. We want somebody to recognize that, yes, you are suffering. There's nothing worse than being in a bad situation and, you know, just deal with it. Don't, hey, I'm suffering. I'm really hurting here. You want to know that God is still there in the midst of your suffering, and this verse tells us very clearly that he is. He knows us and cares about us deeply. That gives me great peace to know that. He pays attention to our sorrows. Some of us bottle it all up inside. We don't let other people see it. Some of us wear it on our sleeve. But whether you're the one that bottles it up or not, God knows it's there. God knows the suffering you're going through. He sees it. Every cry, every tear, every pain matters to God. That's pretty profound. God, that created this entire universe, knows you that well and cares about you that much. Every single tear. The next thing is in Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah is an incredible book. I don't know if you guys have ever spent time in Isaiah. He's a mighty prophet. And God spoke some powerful words to the prophet Isaiah. In Isaiah 41, verse 13, any takers that want to read that? Go ahead.
For I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you.
Wow. Takes your right hand.
The verse is at the end of the song by New Voice.
Yeah, it is. That's a pretty good verse. For I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. One of the things I've come to learn is that many people go through this life in fear. There's a lot of scary things out there. I get that. You know, threats of terrorism, shootings in schools, people shooting our police officers, predators. I mean, you name it. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that surrounds us.
Democrat.
We just lost our 501c3. Thank you, Shane. I'm just kidding. There is a lot of scary stuff. No question. But guys, that is the enemy at work. Fear does not come from God.
The Bible says you should walk with your head high and know that you are my God.
Yeah?
Well, he gets strength off.
It does. I mean, fear can overpower us. It can take us down a bad place. Fear can prevent us from doing what God has called us to do. Fear can prevent us from doing things like budget suites. Fear can prevent us from sharing the gospel with somebody that we know needs to hear it. Fear can take us all kinds of directions away from God. And when we learn to just trust Him, and if He's that intimate in our lives, and we're stepping into His will, why are we going to be afraid? He says, I'm taking your right hand. I'm walking with you. I had a great opportunity exactly a year ago to go into Malawi, Africa. It was a heavily Muslim-populated area in a third-world country with no security, no anything. And I witnessed to Muslims. And if I would have allowed fear to come in, there's no way I would have gone. And trust me, there were many emotions and fears that came over me during that time, but it didn't stop me. I trusted God. I knew He had called me.
Did any of the Muslims come to Christ?
Yes. I led several Muslims to Christ. And I was waiting for their husbands with hatchets and swords to come after me, but we did. We certainly did. There were many occasions where I had Muslims come in, and they identified themselves as Muslim, and I shared the gospel with them, and they accepted Christ. And so that was a thing in my head that if I had allowed those fears to play out and what could happen and all the things that could go wrong, there's no way I would have done that. And so when we recognize that God's got our hand, He says all over the Bible, do not fear. But so many people are crippled by it.
But in order for any of this to take place, you've got to be in the Bible.
You got to know God. In the Bible is absolute. This is God's revelation to us. This is where God is speaking truth about who He is.
He tells you left and right that He'll be there with you, and you can pray all you want to pray. But if you're not reading, and it's like meeting you halfway. I can meet you halfway and I can be there for you. Yeah, you can pray all you want, but if you're not doing what I call you to do, how can I meet you halfway?
Yeah. Well, there's definitely, you're right, that halfway is very important. You know, the term Missio Dei is God's mission work. God in missions. And the whole concept of missions is that God has partnered with us to do His work. Here on earth, He's called people to partner with Him. God doesn't need us. God chose to use us as instruments. When we step out in faith and do our part, God meets us in the middle. You're absolutely right, Roy. And part of that is the way we know God is through His Word. Because there are other forces in this world that are trying to take us away from sound doctrine. They're trying to teach us that it's not important that you stop sinning. You can sin all you want. God's still going to show His grace to you. Exactly. God wants you to have a Mercedes tomorrow.
I don't like Mercedes.
Well, there, tell Joel, because he said you're getting one. The point here is that we can't be stagnant Christians, right? You're either moving forward or you're not moving at all. Moving back is definitely not a good thing.
Sanctification, the process of growing.
Absolutely.
And so that makes it to salvation.
Yeah, they do. I mean, some people believe that once I'm saved, I don't need to do anything else. I'm done. And if you read the Bible, man, God was sending people out right and left, and that never stopped.
The thing is, getting to your salvation is just the beginning.
That's right. That's the beginning.
You're there, the work starts.
Jesus says, if you want to follow me, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. That's how disciples are made. It's denying yourself and pursuing the things of Christ.
One of the tears on here.
Now here's another area that helps us overcome this fear. So would somebody turn to Philippians chapter 4? Look at verse 19. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19.
That's a lovely book.
And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of His glory in Christ Jesus.
That's pretty powerful. Why do we often fear? Because we're afraid God's not going to provide. We don't. Huh?
We'll provide for your every need.
Yeah.
If I provide for the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, would I not provide for the greatest creation?
You've been reading the Bible, brother. Amen.
We get needs mixed up with what I want. That's not the same.
Well, that's just it, guys. That, you know, this is where prosperity gospel comes out, right? And, hey, I need a Mercedes, so God's going to provide a Mercedes.
The airplane.
Right, right.
An airplane for my ministry.
Yeah. I mean, God supplies our needs. I know homeless people that are still living day after day, year after year, and God provides for them. It may not be things that they want, but He provides. There have been times where I didn't know where I was going to get my next meal, and God provided.
It's beans and tortillas. There you go.
Well, I mean, my experience in Africa, one of the poorest countries in the entire continent of Africa that I was in. And you see these guys surviving. God's providing for their needs.
That's why He tells us to provide for the hungry, the poor, and the orphans, because that's His way of providing for them, is through those of us that have too much.
Absolutely. That's why we do so much outreach, because we've been blessed with so many things. And God calls us to use that to give to those in need. And so we do. I mean, that's where a lot of our money goes. We provide for these people that are in need, and that is God at work. So we are to have compassion, just like God has compassion for us. Let me go ahead and close this in prayer.